I am so glad to be here, and I'm just in love with all you guys, and I'm going to brag on a few people here. First of all, my wife wants me to greet you, Leanne. She's really an unsung hero of our whole ministry. She prays. She's on the board. She does a lot of the work behind the scenes, and right now she's taking care of my, helping take care of my four grandchildren. Have you ever taken care of, you know, and now I have the fifth one on the way. And I want to tell you whose fault it is. It's all Pastor Jeannie's fault. Amen. My daughter, my son-in-law, most of you know, I rescued him off the streets of South Central. He was a professional gang member. He never held down a job. And so we rescued him. He got saved. He graduated our program. And one day he came to me and said, could I ask you something kind of embarrassing? I go, what in the world do you want to ask me? He said, could I court your daughter? Well, I about fell over five times, right? Never had a job, didn't have any money, been homeless, and never had a father. But, and that's against every principle in premarital counseling. But the Lord said yes. And so, long story short, 8 months later, I ended up marrying him, and now they have four kids, two twins. We've never had twins in the history of our family. We have two twins now, and now she's got the fifth one on the way. So if you want to have a bunch of kids, don't get close to this lady. don't let her. And my daughter couldn't get pregnant. She had miscarriages. She couldn't get pregnant. But like about 2 weeks after this lady prayed over and prophesied, holy smoke, she's just shelling them out every, it can't be more than every 9 months, you know, but now, so we're running a preschool over there, I mean, but I love it. I have such a good relationship with my son-in-law. He's going to be raised up to help take over this ministry, God willing, and so I cannot tell you how excited I am about what I'm going to share with you this morning. And I've been preaching and missionary for 45 years now, and I would consider this the most important message I've ever given in my life. It's a message, which is really a teaching about a ministry that will literally change your life completely. Not only that, it'll change this whole church completely, and it will change the whole community around you completely, okay? When I give you this message, you're going to say, wow, I believe. Now, it's contingent upon you jumping in with both feet in this ministry that I'm going to tell. Now, I've been running this ministry that I'm going to tell you for 18 years, okay? So this is not a trial. You're not a guinea pig. We've been doing this for 18 years. And every church that we have brought this ministry to has at least doubled in 1 year their attendance. And some of the churches have tripled. Some of the churches have tripled. And then every year after that, they double annually, okay? And they don't double by church migration. How many church migrators do we have here? That means that you came from another church, you end up here, okay? 88% of all churches are church migrators, okay? And I'm going to get on your case here a bit. No, I'm not really. But those churches are the unsaved that were saved and reached in the communities and the neighborhoods. I'm going to tell you just exactly how to do it, okay? I'm going to tell you how to do it. So I'm going to give you little reports here. Watermelon Festival was a killer. Amen. It was a killer. And we just went crazy. The best thing that happened is I shot Paul Butler in the leg with my rocket plane. And he came over and had 18,000 people, and I shoot the guy that's in charge of the whole thing with my rocket plane. I mean, what are the chances of that? Amen. So I thought, well, maybe this is God speaking to me, okay? And so we bring our inventions because we want to ignite faith. 95% of all Christians do not know who they are. They don't know how to operate in their gifts. Amen. And my people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge, okay? And so I bring these to ignite faith in you, okay? I tell people we are absolutely not inventors. Don't call us inventors. But we have over 500 inventions, okay? Right over there is $150 million worth of toys we put on the market, okay? And where's Justin? Run over there real quick. Okay. I got my CPA watching me over there, Harry. So we'll start right there. Tyco Wheelie Cycle to Mattel. Our first payment was $65,000 on that one, okay? That little flyer. Hold up that little flyer there. That's one of seven contracts we did with one company alone. That one, that little thing alone we invented. And God gave us all these envisions and interpretation of tongues, which I'm going to talk about the importance a little bit. Because a lot of this insight in evangelism comes through interpreting your tongues, okay? Hey, where are you going there? He's running away. Okay, that Mattel on the hoverboard drone, that's done $100 million already around the world. We're in the process of negotiating with Mattel on that. Yeah, hold that up there. That's Jason, by the way. Give him a hand. He's been with me a long time, okay? The one that we most recently sold, which we actually now have a little toy factory. We want to invite you to come over and volunteer and help us in our toy factory. We need some knowledgeable people. Hold up Rocket Reaction. Okay, so God gave us this at a vision, okay? And we literally sold, this is the world's only high-flying rocket that's legal. It flies without gunpowder, and it flies without any heat, okay? And this rocket does 600 feet in the air. It launches those gliders. It does all that stuff. And that one, are you ready for this? We sold that to National Geographic. How many heard of National Geographic? For $2.5 million, they said, how would you like $20,000 as a down payment? I said, we'll take it. And just about a week ago, they called us up and they said, look, we're paying for all the patenting on this whole thing. And so we sold two different ones. They're going on the market this summer. You'll see them in the stores. Then next summer, you'll see our second one. We get 3% royalty and then 5%. And so we're very excited about that. And then the VRC, that brought in a 42,000. Anyway, I can't go through it all. This is people lose their cell phone. I do a lot. So we've actually brought in 20,000 from this without, and I'll give you one of these if you want it, and it's a hands-free phone holder to drive your car, okay? So what is my point in all this? We have 78 successful licenses, 78 products now that we have licensed and many of those are still on the market, Walmart, Target, Kmart, and on down the list, okay? And so now we have top companies like Mattel and Hasbro, and they're standing in line to get a phone call from us, you know? Why? Because we're making those people a lot of money. I'm very excited. Just recently, we're praying in the Spirit, and we love science. I'm not going to talk about this, but we love it. So we're studying an amazing guy who was a Christian, Nikola Tesla. And so the Lord showed us how to make a fleshlight that runs without batteries, okay? It draws current from the magnetic field around us. It needs no charging, no batteries. It runs without batteries. And so we're very excited. We're just finishing up the prototype on that. And so I could go on down the list, okay? We have an invention that cures all babies' diaper rash, guaranteed. I've used it over and over in 12 hours, guaranteed. And clean, and anyway, it just works great. And so, anyway, I'm not going to say anything more. But what I am going to say, so we want to, Christians are asleep, okay? And you don't know who you are in Jesus. You don't know why he died for you. He died that you would begin to pray in the language of heaven, okay? Pray in the language of heaven. When you pray in the language of heaven, you not only, A, you communicate with heaven, you punch into the authority of heaven. And then you bring of heaven the authority down here, and then you resonate that authority. With us, it comes out as creativity. With you, will be you. Everybody's unique. Some of you, it'll be in music, you know, it'll be in creative ways to reach the lost, but it'll come out in some way, okay? And God wants that, okay? And I'm going to touch on Lonnie Frisbee, but that was one of the main things that he kind of reproofed leaders, okay, because we're not utilizing the person of the Holy Spirit. We're not inviting the person of the Holy Spirit to come and show up, and we're not inviting the person of the Lord Jesus Christ to show up, okay? And that was a big thing that launched the Jesus movement, okay, which I'm going to touch on a little bit if I get there. The Jesus movement, I followed it all around the world, changed my life. I've never been the same. I've been running ever since. They say 500 million people saved or impacted through the Jesus movement that went around the world. 300,000 churches started. It launched basically the Vineyard movement. Have you heard of that? It launched Calvary Chapel movement and many, many other movements. I went to the Philippines, basically, and Greg Laurie and all those guys. I went to the Philippines and actually saw 4,000 people saved through the Jesus movement just in Manila City, the Philippines. And I want to know why that happened. How many of you want to know why that happened? I'm going to tell you a little bit of why that happened, but I got to get to my message, okay? I want you to fasten your seatbelts. I'm going to go like a bat out of heaven, okay? Grab this thing out of your packet. We went to a lot of work. We put these packets together. Whether you pay us for them or not, we don't care. We just want to get this message out. What's a, hey, okay, I'm sorry. If you didn't get this packet, raise your hand. We're all ready. Keep that hand up. This guy has a whole stack. He's got the whole stack. We need somebody to take this side here. I need a volunteer to go back there and get some more packets. They're all free, and you will never remember this material. Everything that I tell you almost is in this packet, okay? Is in this packet. And I'm going to go so fast. Pull this out of the packet. I'm going to go through this very, very fast. While he's doing that, I want to tell you a little bit about what's going on in the high schools. I've been a missionary for 35 years now. And some years I went 2 years and I only saw one person saved. I got so discouraged, okay, my wife and I. But I want to tell you, in the last months, we've seen 1,146 high schoolers come forward and totally give their lives to Jesus Christ, okay? I've never seen that in my life, okay? These are kids that came forward. They said, I'm tired of my old life. They confessed their sins in front of their friends. They confessed Jesus Christ as Lord. And not only that, the majority of those jumped up and flame Bible clubs that have gone, oh, now these are secular schools, okay? Secular schools. What's that? Okay, so presently we're doing 18 schools a month, okay? And what's that? Silmar. And these are all drug, Pacoima. These are the worst places in L.A., okay? And I got to tell you what happened to the principal at Oxnard, okay? So one of the last schools we did was Oxnard, about 200 kids come up. These outreaches are expensive, I mean, we need a lot of finances because we have to buy lunch for them so we buy our Costco pizzas, you know, sometimes 60 pizzas at a time, okay? So we got to buy our Costco pizzas and our Bibles and all the literature we give it and so on. But Oxnard was just, it was crazy. So we had about 45 kids that came forward, and they totally gave their lives to Jesus Christ. They got on their knees, they repented, and the principal showed up, and he was so blown away. He said, he was just like shaking. He said, I've never seen anything like this happen in my school. And the principal jumped in. He was just like an evangelist. He was just laying hands on all of his kids. Now, this is a secular school, okay? And he said, you don't know, there's something you don't know. I go, well, what is it we don't know? He said, I'm not just a principal. I'm over six principals of surrounding schools. He said, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen in my school in my life. And he said, I don't want you just in my school. I want you in all six of these schools. So we just laughed. And so he said, so because of that and other invitations, we are now in 25 schools a month, okay? And we're hitting this thing at a dead run. And so we get to share the gospel. We get to pray these kids to get filled with the Holy Spirit, have divine encounters. They shake. They get slain into the power. We take them through deliverances, you name it. And the power of God just falls, okay? I could tell you some stories. I don't know if I have time, but it's just unbelievable what is happening. And God said, you're riding the wave of the wave of revival. Get on the wave, amen. That's what God said right now, okay? Mary Crowley will tell you this is the truth, okay? So we're very excited about that, and so we're going into these 25 schools, and we'll jump to at least 25 Bible clubs, because we're allowed to start a Bible club every place we go. And now, not only top of that, which will be part of my message, every Wednesday we meet up here at McDonald's and we minister to just Verdugo High and some of the surrounding junior highs. Every Wednesday we're there, we give a teaching on how to do outreaches and stuff like that, and so we do that, okay? You should write this down before I forget it. At 2 o'clock today, we're doing an outreach for Firepoint up at the Montrose Park, okay? And we're inviting people to Firepoint, and we're setting up pickup for families and bringing them here the next few Sundays, okay? So that's good. We're going to do that. We just know how to do it. You know, God's given us a strategy. It's not to the homeless. We don't reach out to the homeless. We reach out to well-to-do families, and we do that by taking our rocket. We're going to do a rocket exhibition, and God gave us this new rocket plane that's amazing, and there's companies that are fighting for that right now, and we're going to do a competition with that thing. The kid that shoots it the farthest, we're going to give him a free rocket system, okay? But we draw a crowd. We collect a big crowd by giving out... by getting the permission of the parents first, then we give them a raffle ticket, okay? Plus, we got a stack of toys. And a raffle ticket and a stack of toys, and they don't need food. They bring their own food. So the kids all come up, and then we share the gospel, and then we do what I'm going to teach on this morning. We open the door to share the gospel in a friendly way, and then we set up a pickup for church arrangement, okay? We set up a pickup for church arrangement, okay? So grab this. I'm going to take off like a jetliner here, okay? I'm going to share you some real realities that's going on in the church in America. It's pretty scary. And then I'm going to give you some hope and some answers, okay? As I said, this program that we did, it's proven it will double this church in 1 year, guaranteed if people jump on board with this thing, okay? I want to start the Watermelon Festival, okay? 83 people totally saved, gave their lives to Jesus. We led them in the salvation prayer, amen. That was a result of us praying over 164 families, okay? Most of those were little kids that came around by doing what we're going to do today at the park, okay? We put on the competition, we put on the games, it draws a crowd, we share the gospel, people get saved, amen. The foolishness of the preaching of the gospel, people are saved. And so now, what was exciting is that we made a contact with four families who have agreed to come to this church. If we go in, we pick them up, okay? So, and we've been in touch with them, we've been in communication with them, okay? And that's what's important. We're into the kind of reaching the lost that results in church growth, okay? In planting in churches. You should write this down. 65% of all converts will not go on with the Lord unless they're planted into a church within the first 30 days. That's just the way it is, okay? All right, so I want to share three categories regarding what's going on with the church in America. It's not good news. The sobering first one, and these statistics are from Charisma Magazine. You can get these online. They're on internet church growth data, and they're based on 18 years of me working with Tommy Barnett and Matthew Barnett. Amen. All right, here's the statistics. On an average, 150 churches in America are closing down every week. Every week. These are evangelical churches, okay? 64% of all churches in America are on the decline. The American church now decreases at 3% per year, okay? These are evangelical churches, okay? All right. Per capita, the gay rights, which are they're coming against us on these schools, they don't want that Bible in those schools. Why? Because it preaches against being a gay lifestyle. Per capita, the gay rights movement is increasing faster than Christianity. It has an agenda to make all Christian Bibles illegal. Unless things change, which I'm going to give you those things to change, at this present rate, in 15 years, all American pastors will lose their nonprofit status if they refuse to not marry a same-sex couple. In 20 years, it will be illegal for everyone to own a Bible. Now, this is the present rate of their increasing in comparison to the decline of Christianity in America, okay? And now, this, what is this title? It tells them, it's my kids. It's my grandkids, amen? They're going to deal with this if I don't basically repent and change the way I think and change the way I do things, okay? Per capita, the Islamic faith is increasing faster. Now, this is already happening in Europe, okay? It's already happening. The Islamic faith is increasing faster than Christianity, with a violent bloodshed agenda to eradicate all Christianity. And unless things change in 25 years, they will accomplish their goal. You know what I say? No way. No way to that, okay? Now listen to this very carefully. 88% of all Christian churches in America are made up of members that migrate from another church. In other words, the lost are not being reached. What if I was to say, how many migrators do we have from a church? Don't raise your hand. Well, that's most of you. But what if I was to say, how many are here because you got saved out of the neighborhood, you came to Jesus, somebody picked you up, and you came to church, okay? How many? Is there anybody? Is there anybody? Okay, I'm seeing two people, okay? All right, I'm proving a point here, okay? I'm going to give you some hope. I'm going to give you some hope here in a minute. Category number two. This is the obvious reason for the decline in the churches. Are you ready for this? 95% of all American Christians have never led one person to Jesus their entire life. Now, these are evangelical Christians. 98% of all American Christians do not know how to intelligently explain the gospel with love and humility to another person. Other than Christmas and Easter, 80% of all American Christians have never picked up even one lost person for church their whole life. Even one lost person. 97% of all American pastors admit that they have never taught their congregations how to reach the lost and build their churches. 75% of all, now this is a great one, 75% of all believers believe that they have become stagnated, they stop growing spiritually because they're not involved in reaching the lost and making disciples, okay? That's what happened to me as a young person. We got so bored with God, bored with church, bored with religion, we all just kind of wanted to backslide. Thank God I joined YWAM and I got involved in the Jesus movement. Amen. And it kind of rescued me, okay? But church bores us, okay? We are not created by God to be spectators. I mean, he got it, okay? We got a saying, if you don't go, you don't grow. The Christian that lives their life on the cutting edge of soul winning is a growing Christian. Every other Christian is being lulled to sleep into mediocrity and complacency and spiritual slumber. In comparison, are you ready for this? Let's see, where am I here? Okay, category number three. Nope, I got ahead of myself. Okay, I got to tell you something I'm very grateful for. Probably one of the most grateful things I've been part of my life, okay? I'm going to give you a little bit of background on myself. For 18 years, I had the privilege of being a full-time pastor and trained under Pastor Tommy Barnett, and then as well as his son, Matthew Barnett, at the Dream Center. For 18 years, I taught a class at the Phoenix First Assembly annual Tommy Barnett Pastor School. And for those 18 years, I got to observe firsthand how they reach the lost and they build churches, okay? So how do they build churches? Now, here's what I got to observe. Every single week, Pastor Tommy came over to L.A. Every single week, he drilled this into us that you're getting, okay? And so what was the result of all this, okay? Let's see, where am I here? Okay. Phoenix First grew from 75 members to 22,500 members, most of which I observed myself over those 18 years. They planted over 100 Dream Centers worldwide. they give presently $8 million each year to outside overseas missions, okay? And they have planted over 500 churches and multiple Bible colleges, okay? The LA Dream Center, I started out with Pastor Matthew. We had 50 people in a little tiny church, okay? Well, actually, we had 150 got upset because they didn't like Pastor Matthew and they left, okay? So I worked with Pastor Matthew and we took 50 people. And if you Google LA Dream Center, they now run 9,000 members, okay? 9,000 members. Now, this is not what's significant. They run over 100 different ministries, and this is what's significant here. Okay, 88 to 85% of all the memberships of Tommy Barnett's church and Pastor Matthew's church are not migrants from other churches. They are people that have gotten saved out of the neighborhoods, out of the communities. Are you with me? Okay. They're just doing the opposite, okay? Now, what in the world are these people doing that's working? I'm going to tell you what they're doing, okay? I'm going to give you some other statistics. You might hate me, but I don't have to come back next week. Okay. All right. Okay. Let me give it to you. All right. Billy Graham. How many heard of Billy Graham? Billy Graham admits sadly that only 3% of all those that saved come forward in those crusades ever make it into the church. Only 3%. Now, this includes Greg Laurie crusades. I hate to tell you, it includes the Wow Jams, which I'm into Wow Jam 100%. Okay. All these are a whole lot of work and they have very low fruit, even though they're great things, right? All right. Well, what's going on here? In comparison, 87% of all the lost that receive salvation and are successfully planted into a church is because of one factor. 87% compared to 3%. 87%. What's that factor? Who can tell me? And not my staff. It's not my staff. This guy back here. What's that? Okay, that's a good answer. Friendship, okay? It's not what I'm looking for. It's not what I'm looking for. Okay. What's that? Love. Okay. All those are right answers. Okay. Oh, she's cheating there. She's looking at the manual. Okay. I'm going to tell you what it is. I hope you got your markers. Mark this in the manual. Mark this in the manual. I'm going to tell you what it is. Okay. Okay, what is that factor? The factor is because people in the church, you guys are motivated and you're trained to pick them up for church. How could it be that easy? Okay. See, we don't use the E word. The E word is bad news. What's the E word? Evangelism. You know what you do when you use the E word? You know what you get? You want to know what you get? You get the hand. What's the hand? I'm not an evangelist. I'm into helps. I'm into the worship team. I'm not an evangelist. I can't. You know, they got a bad connotation of these people preaching out on the streets, waving their Bibles. Yes or no? That's killed reaching the lost. All right, we don't use the E word. Are you ready? Okay. We use breaking your heart and reaching the lost for Jesus. Amen. All right, so, and then we don't use inviting people to church. We don't use that. Why? Because it doesn't work either. Why does it work? 95% of everybody will lie to you. Yes or no? I know where your church is. I know where that golf course is. I know where that. I'll be there. 95% will lie to you. That doesn't work, okay? We use the word setting up a pickup for church arrangement, okay? We use a thing like, our church has a ministry. Oh, you do? It's called Pick Up for Church, okay? And we'd like you to be a part of our ministry called Pick Up for Church, okay? And this is what we do. Oh, you have a ministry called Pick Up for Church? Oh, that makes sense. Why? Because you don't know anybody. You know me. I'm going to introduce you, okay? Blah, blah, blah. And this thing just works. It works like crazy now. Now follow this one, okay? This gets more exciting. Are you with me? All right. When you pick up a person four times for church, just four times, 40% of all those people that you pick up will become, not only become part of that church, but they will go on for the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? They will go on for the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't stop then. That if you take those 40%, they will bring in an average of six people each. Six people each. You know what? You know why Christians are really bad at reaching the lost? We don't know any lost. We're busy with our Christian cliques. We're a Christian clique people, you know? All right? So when you start to reach a lost person, guess what? They know about 20 lost people. We did a car wash, you know, washed people's cars, did our little questionnaire interview while they reached their cars. We had 45 people got saved in 2 days. The car wash only, free car wash only cost us $100. We bought dollar toys for the kids. And that resulted in two families joining the church, which we picked up, one family, and I couldn't believe it. They brought in like 20 people. The church increased by 20 members just because we did a free car wash, amen, and picked that lady up four times, and I don't know where she got all, you know, those Hispanics, they have so many relatives. Anyway, so, okay, now listen, so those six people, when they join the church, if you do not teach them immediately to join the Pickup for Church ministry, guess what? They'll lull into passivity, complacency, and basically you help kill them. That's pretty serious. You help kill them. You lull them to sleep and just be a good spectator in church. You're killing those people. All right? But if you teach those people once they get saved, and this is what Lonnie Frisbee did too, by the way, okay? Hope I have time to talk about him. So you teach those people that it's not about a spectator sport. Amen. You teach those people that God has people in your life that he wants you to reach, and you teach them to reach. Guess what? Those six reach six other people. Okay. I want you to say, take six times six. What do you get? 36. And those 36, guess what? They reach 36 other people. I want you to say, take 36 times 36. How many is that? 1,293. You'd have to get another building really quick here. Yeah. Really quick, okay? Then I want you to say, take 1,296 times 1,296 people. How many is that? Mucho. Do you know that's over 1 million people? See, the book of Acts says they multiplied to the church, okay? Do you see how Tommy Barnett can go from 75 people to 22,500 people in a short time? Yes. It's not rocket science. That's a pun, rocket science. Okay. All right. Okay, those six will invite six people. Okay, you can now multiplication of converts. Okay, you can see how Phoenix first. Okay, I already said that. Okay. All right, so now I'm going to talk about Lonnie Frisbee, okay? And I really appreciate Mary. What's that? Okay. So, long story, very short. I was so blown away by the Jesus movement. These kids are in love with the Lord. All I want to do is talk about Jesus. If you didn't have 10 tracts in your pocket, amen, in your Bible, you might as well go out without your pants on, okay? That's what it is, okay? We were taught the Jesus culture was a reaching of the lost people, amen? We set up free thrift stores. 72, okay? Thank you. 72, all right? A changing point in my life. We went across the nation setting a free thrift store. Why? Because the uppities, okay, they don't need clothes. They want to donate their clothes. That's how we got to know them. We're going to teach you as that one of the random acts of kindness that you guys are going to do, okay? We're going to reach the uppities. Why? By collecting their clothes. Then we tell them, well, by the way, where you drop the clothes off is church on Sunday morning. So guess who's there to reach him? Guess how many might as well come into church? Amen? About 60% will come right on into church, amen, and get saved, okay? All right, so we did that with the whole Jesus movement thing. Lonnie Frisbee, which I don't profess to know this guy, but the Jesus movement changed my life all around the world. Akron, Ohio, Jesus people all over the place. Grand Junction, Colorado, Jesus people all over the place. I didn't leave the church, but I just quit hanging out with the church because they just wanted their church socials and their swimming parties, and it was just a bunch of hoop to do and go to all their conferences. I'm not against conferences, but if conferences don't equip people, you're wasting your time at conferences. They're just getting you all dressed up where nowhere to go. Are you with me? They're getting you all dressed up, nowhere to go. Okay, so I guess I got into the Jesus movement. Amen. These guys are in love with the Lord. We had prayer meetings till midnight. We prayed people slain into the Spirit. Amen. Till 4 a.m. And then we just didn't get up and sing Kumbaya. Amen. We went out and leaked on people, okay? So that was the whole thing. So I said, I got to see what's going on here. So I went on a pilgrimage. I went out to Chuck Smith's church, sat out there in Calvary Chapel. They knocked all the walls. I didn't even see, this used to be a church. They knocked every wall out of the church. They had tents setting up. I looked to the right, I looked to the left, and there was hippies worshiping Jesus as far as the eye could see. As far as the eye could see. I said, say what? I said, I want to know how did this happen? They looked at me and they said, glad you asked. They said, I want you to come over here and meet this guy, okay? So this guy, and I believe he began to tell me the life of Lonnie Frisbee, actually. I didn't even know the name Lonnie Frisbee at the time. But he began to tell me, he said, look, there's this skinny hippie, amen, who went up close to here, up by Palm Springs, went up a canyon, and he met Jesus up. They went on a pilgrimage, amen? Now, I want to say that because that is so important that you have that pilgrimage, that you have that encounter, and Jesus Christ has that encounter for every one of us, okay? We wouldn't have any creativity unless we had that encounter, okay? And Jesus died that we would have eternal life, not in the sweet by and by, but today, amen? Right now, what is eternal life? It means to encounter the life of heaven. It means to encounter the life of heaven right now, okay? So Lonnie he shows up, you know, to Chuck Smith, and he's just a real bells on his pants and, you know, long hair, and you can Google him, you'll watch his videos, okay? This guy's anointed by God, you mean? So he shows up there and he says, and he's just the humblest little guy you could ever imagine. He said, you know, and he went up to John Wimber, actually. And he said, you know, John Wimber, I feel like that Jesus is telling me to reproof you, you know. He goes, what? You know, and so John Wimber looks at him and he says, well, I don't know if I understand you, but God told me to invite you to come to speak at the Anaheim Vineyard down there, okay, where the Holy Spirit really fell, I was told. So, but Lonnie Frisbee, he said, I want to tell you two things. He says, number one, he says, you people need to declare war on your comfort zones. Amen. You need to declare war. Amen. And he said, and basically back then, Calvary Chapel was pretty much dying with Chuck Smith, who was a great Bible teacher. They had 75 members, but they did this tradition. You know, they went to church and then they had their baseball game after church. And then they went and Chuck had a little message and they all went to back to their comfortable homes. Okay. Lonnie Frisbee, I believe it was him that said that. He said, look, if you guys can play baseball after church, you can pack up a load of hamburgers and you can just go down to the beach and ask those stinky hippies if they'd like some prayer. Well, they kind of looked at each other and said, well, yeah, I guess that's what Jesus would do. We don't know how to talk to hippies. Don't even worry about that. Amen. Don't even worry about that. Okay. So, by the way, we've seen 276 high schoolers saved from the McDonald's here. Why? Because we buy them hamburgers, amen? We go in there and ask if they're hungry, okay? From then we ask them, hey, we have a little questionnaire here. You guys could help us out. Oh, sure, you know. Well, that questionnaire is so loaded, which is in your packet here, amen, that we've led 276 kids to the Lord just from the high schools around here. Now, that's not our middle of the night. We use this pamphlet, which you got here. We've led over 3,500 kids to the Lord just going through this little pamphlet. They've repented of their sins and everything, okay? So I got to keep going here. So Lonnie Frisbee, he said, you're not doing two things. You need to get out of your seats and into the streets. Amen? Okay. He said, all you guys, and he said, not only that, he said, 80% of you guys are all bound by fear. Well, what if somebody rejects me? What if I get an uncomfortable situation, you know, if I share Jesus or something? Well, you're all bound. 20 years of your life, you're bound by a spirit of fear. First of all, you need to repent, and then we're going to pray deliverance over you. Amen? Okay. Anyway, I could tell you some stories. But so he said, look, they said, okay. So he said, second thing is these kids have got to have divine encounter. Well, what's divine encounter? Why don't we just go to church, you know? Yeah, they got to have divine encounter. So Lonnie Frisbee set up these meetings. I was talking to Mary about them. The one that I know was Sunday morning. And so Chuck Smith, who I think later repented, but he was uncomfortable with people even get slain into the spirit. And if they were laid out for 3 hours and they shook and they went through deliverances and they squalled and they crawled and they cried, and then he was really uncomfortable with that. Amen? So he said, Lonnie, I'm willing to give this thing a chance. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do the afterglow, okay? So all these churchy people can go home, amen, at 9 o'clock. And we're all going to go home. We'll lock the door. But Lonnie can bring these hippies up front, and he can pray power encounter, okay? Now, I just got to tell you, there's a whole lot of things going on. Every Saturday, starting next Saturday, we're going to have a power. We call it the Jesus Power Encounter. And we're going to pray the spirit of creativity for inventions. We're going to pray the power for evangelism. We're going to pray that over you, okay? Now, you better get ready. You may get laid out for 3 hours and not be able to get out of the floor, okay? If it empowers you, then that's okay, okay? So Lonnie invited these groups of these hippies to come forward, and he started laying hands on and pray, asking Holy Spirit to come. How many Christians ask Holy Spirit to come? He doesn't come because you don't ask him. How many, he began to ask, person of Lord Jesus, you're most welcome in this place. We ask you, Lord Jesus came, okay? What was the result of that? 80% laid out under the power of the Holy Spirit. They couldn't even get up till 4 in the morning. Amen? They couldn't even get up to the 4. They went through deliverances. They went through healings, okay? And then about 5 o'clock in the morning, Lonnie says, okay, guess what it is? It's not time to go to bed. It's time to hit the beach. Because you're full of something, aren't you? We are full of something. You're going to be called the Holy Leakers. We're going to call you to go out and leak on people. So those hippies, okay, now what was the result of that? You can say, you're nuts. Let me tell you the word. First month, they baptized 100 people in the ocean. Second month, it turned into 200 people. Going into the third month, they were baptizing 100 people in the ocean every week. After 3 years, look up Time Magazine, they baptized 20,000 hippies in the ocean. 20,000 hippies. And it just didn't start. That flamed a movement that went across America. Amen? Yeah. That can't be true. That's too simple. Amen? What do you got to do? Get out of your seat and get in the streets. Amen? Yeah. At 2 o'clock, we're not going. We're going to go home and eat a little hamburgers, maybe do a 30-minute power nap. Amen? But we're hitting Montrose Park. Amen? We're taking our things. We're taking our toys. We're giving out free raffle tickets to these uppity-uppity families down there, amen? Because we want to leak Jesus on them. Are you with me? Okay, we want to leak Jesus on them. And then we want to sit down with those people, and we're going to tell them about FirePoint, amen? And then not only that, is we're going to politely not take no for an answer, amen? And there's a way to do that politely, to not take no for an answer when they say, oh, we could check out FirePoint, maybe. They'll lie to you, okay? Okay, and I'm going to teach on that if I get to it here, okay? So we're going to do that. Next Saturday, this whole teaching takes 4 sessions to even begin to absorb it, okay? We're going to teach you how to intelligently lead a person to Jesus Christ. Intelligently lead a person to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, okay? and begin to lead them to where they interpret their tongues and they travel to heaven, if you would. You know, that's what the word means. I even heard that from Jack Hayford. To be pneumatata in the spirit means pneuma, spirit. Matata means to take a journey. And you should be taking journeys into heaven, into the heavenly realm. You should be encountering heaven. You should be encountering angels. And first of all, you should be encountering Jesus. Amen? Yeah. We're going to teach on how to do that, and then we're going to pray it into pass. So that was the second thing Lonnie said. He said, you grieve the Holy Spirit because you don't recognize him, you don't invite him to come, and you don't impart person of the Holy Spirit to people, okay? So anyway, that was the Jesus movement, and that was Lonnie Frisbee, and Mary Crowley here will tell you that the Lord has showed us and many other people that we will engage these principles. Raise your hand, Mary Crowley. If we will engage these principles, they're not too complicated. Amen? If we'll get out of our seats, if we'll begin to believe a person of the Holy Spirit, if you'll get so full and saturated with God that you're never the same. Amen? All you can do is leak on people. And then we're not going to go to a conference and sing Kumbaya. Amen? We're going to get out of our seats and go into the streets. Amen? Because you don't... The kingdom of God is built upon giving. You receive by giving in the kingdom of God. We got it in reverse as a Christian, okay? All right, now I'm going to give you some really practical steps as to how this thing works, okay? How is this thing going to double the church, triple the church in 1 year? How does this thing going to work, okay? All right, I want you to open your packet that we did a lot of work, and we gave you this packet, amen? In this packet are two tools that we use for evangelism that we're going to teach you on. One is how to lead a person to the Lord using a 10-question questionnaire, okay? And people love that thing. You say, that sounds hokey, but they love it. Because eternity is written on every man's heart, Ecclesiastes. So all I have to do is ask certain questions like, God forbid, can I ask you a person, do you know if you died today, where you'd be? You know, people start thinking about that, amen? And really, 90% of everybody knows there's life after death. But you ask those questions, and then those questions capture an audience. And then we say, here's a little booklet that tells where we're going to go when we die. By the time you get to those last of the 10 questions, which are all at the back of this, I hope. Okay. Which are all at the back of this, people are looking at you. These high school kids, they don't even want to eat their hamburgers. they just free, okay? And then part of this, I called up my good friend Mary Kay Baxter, who comes and speaks at our group ever since I was at the Dream Center. She gave me wholehearted authority to make this track out of parts of her book. How many heard of her book? Divine Revelation of Hell. And we look at people, you know, we talk about part of explaining the gospel. It's talking about the reality of hell, you know. And this lady, for 30 days, Jesus appeared to her personally. What? And he took her to hell. And from the hours of 2 in the morning till 5 in the morning, what? This is a bestseller, okay? And I, by the time I read 3 paragraphs out of this to a lost person, let me just tell you what happens, okay? I'll just read 3 paragraphs. Jesus said, my child, I will take you into hell, and I will show you many things that I want the world to know. Basically, in another place, he said, I want you to write this report of hell for 2 reasons. Number one is to shock my people into getting out and reaching the lost. Now, Jesus said that to Mary Kay. Number two is to warn people to miss hell at all costs. Okay? Jesus said first. No, actually, this is her talking. First, I saw tunnels protruding out of the earth. These were the gateways to hell. Jesus said, I will go into hell through one of these tunnels. I saw demons with great chains dragging the lost through the tunnels as they screamed in terror. I saw things in hell that were too horrible to even tell. Even more were the awful than the wails of torment were the dreadfulness of the fires of hell with its deep pits. Also so dreadful were the worms or snakes that crawled through the souls of people as they screamed in terror. I also saw things that God would not let me write. When you die on earth, When you die on earth, if you are born again by the Spirit of God, your soul goes to heaven. If you are a sinner when you die, you go immediately to a burning hell. Demons with great chains will drag your soul to hell. And it goes on and on. And she talks about the pits of hell and how the demons torture the people in hell. I've read this to high schoolers, man. They just said they're eating, chomping on their hamburgers. They just forget this hamburger. They're just like, they can't wait for me to get to the end so they can get saved. Amen? All right. Yes.
Don't go anywhere. I'm just interjecting. I can do this really fast. So one of the reasons I knew that we were supposed to start Firepoint Church is that I read this book. I read this book, A Divine Revelation of Hell. I have it sitting on my bookshelf at home. I read it, and it convinced me that I needed to do something, that I couldn't just be a conference speaker. I couldn't just be whatever I do. I need to have a part in saving the lost. And David and I, in our youth, we were part of a church that we helped name called Evangelism Today. Let's do it again. Okay? Let's do it again.
Praise God. Thank you. Amen. Praise God to that. Because of a donor that I cannot mention, amen, we printed 5,000 of these, okay? So you don't even have to pay for it. We printed 10,000 of these, okay? Wow. You don't even have to pay for it. Your money can't be a reason, okay? All right, so now I want to bring this around the corner to closure. I want everybody to reach into this packet. What's that? We have these. We're going to do Hispanic. If you want to help us on Hispanic, we'll do these right away. Good question. I know this book is out in Spanish, okay? Now, you say, what is this going to cost me? forgive me for laughing. Okay, reach in there and grab out this card, okay? This card is life and death. It's called the participation card, because I'm going to tell you what to do this. Now, I've been doing this for 18 years. I've seen churches triple in number, okay? I saw, you already know what I saw of Tommy Barnett's church and Matthew Barnett's church, okay? All right, this is a participation card. Here's what you do. Everybody takes this card. You're going to take this card home. You're going to bring it back next Sunday, okay? Viva Stel, stand up. He's going to meet you next Sunday. He's going to be at the table. He's going to take a picture of this card, okay, that you've filled out. All right, now bear with me here. Bear with me. He's not the Gestapo, but bear with me, okay? Because we want to pray with you over what you're going to put on this card. We want to coach you over what you're going to put on this card, okay? So here's the way this whole thing works. Are you ready? Yes. Everybody in this congregation chooses one person. It's somebody you enjoy praying with, you hang out with, whatever. You pick out one person. You get together with that one person, okay? That's number one. Then number two, and you, by the way, you put your number there, and you put that other person's number there, okay? Because we're gonna keep record of all this, okay? We're gonna give the pastor a nice report on all of this, okay? And this is not intimidation. It's nothing that. It's just that we believe the Book of Acts is full of a missionary report. You know, it's 3,000 got saved here, 5,000 got saved there. Well, if it's in the Bible, then we ought to be doing it. Are you with me? Okay. All right. Then here's what's important. You're gonna pray. You're going to ask God to give you 7 unsaved people, okay? Everybody has here what's called an oikos. Whoever heard of that, okay? That's called your circle of influence, okay? And everybody has an oikos on 3 levels, okay? What are the 3 levels of oikos? Number one, it's your relatives and your family, okay? Relatives and your family. You're going to pick out of your relatives and your family. It's number two, your friends that are unsaved. You're going to pick out of your friends that are unsaved. Number three is casual acquaintances. Okay? You're going to pick out 7 people out of that 3. You're going to meet shortly, whether it's the beginning of Firepoint Church or after Firepoint Church, you're going to meet for 5 minutes with your partner, and you're going to pray over those 7 people. Amen? 2 or more agree together, touching it, God hears. Amen? Lauren Cunningham, he said, I don't believe that one lost soul gets saved unless somebody prays for him, okay? Why do we have to pray? God does what he wants to do anyway. Well, it's not true. There's the law of free choice, amen? And mankind took free choice to kick God out of our world, And so when we pray, we invite God to come back into our world and influence. How many know that, okay? I was taught that in YOM. I think it's good teaching. So we have to pray. It's in the Bible, okay? All right, you're going to take your seven people. Then right over here, you got another category. You're going to ask God to give you a strategy to set up a pickup for church arrangement with these people, okay? Now, how in the world do I do this? It might be the internet. It might be a phone call. It might be you go and visit them, okay? Then down here, as you ask God, creative ways to strengthen your relationship with that circle of influence, okay? I got a burden for the guy that sells me hardware store parts down in Sunland. His name's John, okay? And God's broken my heart for that guy. And he will not go to church. You know what? But you know what? He's going to go to church for me. And you know why? What?
I know who.
Okay.
I know exactly who you're talking about.
So I witnessed to that guy, and he will not go to church. But he will go with me, and I'm going to tell you why. Because I'm ministering to his son. Amen? I'm helping him with his relationship with his son. Now what does all that mean? That means he owes me something, okay? And it is. Getting people to go to church is trading off with a favor. You strengthen your relationship with your neighbors. Amen. You go to your neighbors. You mow their lawn. You know, you deliver a box of food to them, you know, just to bless them. You wash their car. You know, the list goes on and on. And we will help you with that seven that you want to build. And they will come to church with you, okay? Now here's the other one that's very important. This is called, you want to fill this one out too. This is your seven. There's seven spaces there that would respond if we helped you set up what's called a home visitation or a restaurant meal, okay? Now, this is so powerful, and it works, okay? Because when we talk to a person, you don't say, we're coming over at 6 o'clock to explain the gospel. You don't say that. You know, you say, look, we're ministers at a church called Firepoint, and we have this thing going on at our church where we just pray a blessing over people's families, and we pray a blessing over their household and over their incomes. And what we'd like to do is just come over there and pray a blessing over your family, and because they know Joe here that knows them, and he knows them, and they know him, and they can trust us. 80 to 90% will say, yeah. Come over on a Sunday afternoon. Well, then what do? Man, you roll out the red carpet. You show up with two pre-cooked chickens and a thing of flowers for the lady. You sit down there and you enjoy a meal together and you share the fat and whatever. Talk about sports. Talk about their beautiful home. And then toward the end, you just say, you know, there's a little thing that you could do for me. Like, well, oh, sure, man. We're just so blessed by your praying and blessing us here and brought us a big old box of food, okay? By the way, we prayed for boxes of food. God gave us a quarter of a ton full of donated canned food, okay? So what we do with pastors and you guys, if you guys will match that food, we'll put together the boxes, and we'll take those out to one of our, what we call our random acts of kindness, which is what I'm going to talk about in a minute. We'll take those door to door with a little note from your church, Firepoint, that says, we're delivering these because we're celebrating, say celebrate, we're celebrating a new ministry our church has started called Pick Up for Church. Wow, that's cool, Pick Up for Church. 70% invite us to come into the home, okay? They invite us to come into the home. Now, what do we do when we get into the home? What do when we deliver the two chickens and say, can I ask you a personal question? And then they say, you know, we have a little questionnaire. And you could help us by letting us give you this questionnaire interview. It won't take very long, okay? And then we go through these questions. God forbid if I die today, amen? Then we go through this booklet, okay? We have 70% that surrender their lives to Jesus Christ right there, okay? Over one-third right there get filled with the Holy Spirit, they get their heavenly language, and they have a divine encounter. Now, do you think if a person has a divine encounter, they're going to want to go to church with you?
Yeah.
Well, 90%, amen? How many of you ever gone fishing and tried to catch a fish before you put a hook in its jaw? You know, that's like most Christians. We're trying to catch a slippery fish, you know. So you catch those fish first, and then you run by them to church, amen? Because, boy, if they meet God, boy, they're going to want to go to church somewhere with you. Okay. So the same thing with delivering the boxes of food and stuff like that. Okay. So that's how you're going to fill this out. And we're committing ourselves to a whole lot of work for this church, okay? Because we're going to be there to go through you, okay? All this information has my phone number on, by the way, okay? There's my newsletter. It's all in there. It's all got my phone number. And I've got some staff that are going to take that down, and we're going to set up home visitations of those people. We're going to help you call those people and ask that we're going to come and bless their family, their homes, pray for their finances, and set this whole thing up. Then we're going to take you with us, and guess who's going to learn how to do it? Because guess who's going to do it next time? You are, okay? We're going to work ourselves out of a job. Okay, now it gets more exciting. Turn this over. Tommy Barnett calls this Adopt the Block, okay? And we've left things out of, we think some of the stuff he does is too big and too much work. So we've tweaked this whole thing called Adopt the Block. We call this building relationships through fun, random acts of kindness. Say fun, okay? So every Saturday, we've been doing this for the last, 20 years, really. So every Saturday, we meet at our men's home, okay? And he's got the address down there. Write this down, 10741 McVine. It's the corner of McVine and Kyle. Most of you have been to our thing. And 10741 McVine Street, M-C-V-I-N, McVine Avenue, okay? And so we'll be there. We'll clean our house up. We can seat 25 to 30 people. We'll pack you in, amen? And we're going to give you a class that's going to be a continuation of this, okay? And then on the back here, you can choose what kind of outreaches you want to do. One of our favorites is reaching skateboard kids, okay? There's all kinds of skateboard lots. Right? The kids love us. We love them. Where's Vestel? Stand up, Vestel. He leads our skateboard ministry, and then Jerry helps him there. Amen? We take our rockets. We go down, and from one of your stores down here, we buy 6 pizzas. We buy water bottles. We show up. Hey, we thought maybe you guys would be thirsty. Wow, you guys would do this for us? You know, they shut down everything. Amen? We raffle off a skateboard. I bought a skateboard at a yard sale the other day. I'm going to raffle that off. So that we draw a crowd. Amen? And then we let somebody give a testimony. They don't want to hear me preach. Amen? But we'll let Armando give a testimony. By the way, next week you'll meet Armando. He used these same principles. Guess what happened? Himself and what's the guy from what's his name? Jay Kubman, okay. Himself and Jay Kubman, they took a youth group in South Bay. Where is it? They started out with 25 people. They used these principles, and in 1 year they had 900 young people that were on fire, worshiping Jesus, repented of their sins, repented of their moral impurity, and come into meetings. Can you say amen to that? Okay. So Armando, God willing, he'll be here. And he will be sharing some of these same principles that work. He'll tell you this stuff works. Amen? Okay. I got to probably wrap it up. Where's my time guy? What's that? Oh, God. Okay. I apologize. I think I'm done. But let me just tack up this. Okay. So you're going to take this. This is homework, Baba. Okay. This is homework. We're going to meet you at this right back there next Sunday morning. We're going to look at your card. We're going to pray with you. We're going to coach you. We're going to see what kind of problems you have. And then you're going to meet us at 10 o'clock next Saturday morning. Amen. For a continuation of this teaching. And then we're going to go out to do it. Okay. Some of us will go to the skateboard parks. One of my favorite is what we're going to do today. I just love kids. So we're going to give kids toys. And we're going to minister to the adults, and we're going to have a contest in the park, and we're going to build relationships that are going to not stop at that. That's going to result in setting up a pickup for church arrangement and leading them to the Lord. Amen. So we'll pick one of those. Then you can choose your own. We'll send leaders with you. We're going to walk you through how to do it. Okay. Just like Tommy did with us. And you can choose. So you're going to choose which one of those. Then you fill this in. Right here. Put which ones you want to do. And remember, and here's what we'd ask you to do. Are you ready for this? You guys all work jobs. You give financially to the church. You give financially to our ministry, some of you guys. We're not into burning people out, okay? We're into giving life to people, okay? So we just ask you to believe God for just 2 pickups a month, okay? 2 pickups a month, and then you got to have a backup because, because again, 50% will lie to you, or they'll, you know, oh, something. But we're going to teach you how to call them up, okay? We're going to teach you how to take them to their Starbucks on the way to church because they're half of them got a hangover. Are you with me? Okay, we're going to teach you step by step how to do this. It's just going to take a lot more teaching than we got time for. So we're going to teach you how to do this pickup for church arrangement, and that's going to be every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock, okay? Then Saturday at 7, we have Jesus Encounter. You're invited to that if you want to come. Bring the youth group, whatever. Yes. Oh, that's right. So guess what? We're going to come to your conference, and maybe you'll all set up a table and promote this thing. And then we're going to bring some of these kids that have gotten saved, amen, to this conference. So we're kind of excited about that, and maybe we'll shoot up some of our rockets in the backyard or something. Let me just see if I've covered everything, because now we've covered a lot of stuff, okay? So there's just two, and then there's 2 random acts of kindness that we ask you to commit yourself to a month. Now, some of you might want to come every Saturday to a ramp. Maybe some of you say, God, I got, you know, 5 kids. Maybe you can come to one. Maybe some of you can't invite some lost person to church, but you could hook up with somebody that has kids and you could share a ride. Or what we do, we bring all the kids to church first, put on a video, and then we go out and pick up our people in the neighborhoods, okay? Well, I know. Here's something exciting. We went on an Holy Land tour. First of all, you got to ask God to break your heart. You should write that down. Did you know that behind the post office here in your backyard, there's 200 apartments, okay? We went out, because we went out knocking on all those apartments. Not all of them, but a lot of them, amen? And part of them was for Wow Jam, amen? And we found out that 70% of those people are unchurched, okay? Easily 70 to 80 are unsaved people. They're just unsaved. But the exciting thing we found out is that roughly at least 20% said that they would come to church if somebody would come by and pick them up. 20%. I mean, in one day, you guys will have to stand at the back because there'll be standing room only here. And we literally had that happen in the church that we did, that all the saints had to stand at the back because we packed the church out. Okay. We're going to do that. There's 2 trailer parks, actually 3 trailer parks, okay? Those trailer parks, at least 1 out of 10 of those people will come to this church if we swing by and pick them up, okay? And we're going to help setting all this up. We got 2 vans. We're fixing up those vans. And Pastor says he's getting some more vans and stuff like that. So I'm excited about this whole thing, amen? Yeah. So we're committed to your church, amen? We're committed to this. I got my shirt on to prove it. So we're going to be here every Sunday, amen, for the next 2 to 3 months. We're going to be there. We'll have our table at the door. We're going to pray with you. We're going to take a picture of your card. We're going to discuss that with you. We're going to make sure you, Pastor has agreed to celebrate this thing every Sunday, right? I'm putting you on the spot. Because if the pastor doesn't get through it, this thing doesn't work. But if the pastor gets behind it, Pastor Gitzmark, I love you guys. Thanks for praying for us. Pray for our finances, for the high schools, everything. I love you guys. Thank you.
Listen, when we started this church 6 years ago, we said we were going to be a missional church, that we wanted growth through convert growth, not through transfer growth. We became the very thing I didn't want to become. We became a transfer growth church. Nothing wrong with that. You're all precious. I love you all. But it's time to go after new converts. Yeah. It's time to take this. God told me I'd bring in the mamas and the papas. I'd bring in those that and needed leadership, discipleship. But then I was going to bring in the youth. Then I was going to bring in the new believers. It's time for us to make a commitment. It's time for us to repent of our comfort zones. Yeah. Do you hear me? Yeah. I know there's a lot of people out here. You're a little bit scared of this. Okay, this is a little frightening to you. It's so important that you repent of that and overcome that. Amen? Yeah. Now, I want to know, and I'm asking for a visual count, how many of you are willing to be a part of this? I want you to raise your hand. Come on, raise your hand. Make a commitment before the Lord. Raise your hand and say, I want to be a part of this. I don't know what it looks like, but I want to be a part of it. I don't know what part I'm going to play. God is looking. Let's be a part of what God wants to do. Amen? Let's go forth and let's help these people in the get to church. Let's be willing to pick up someone twice a month. Twice a month, pick somebody up, amen, and bring them to church. Not only that, I've talked to our board. We're very interested in purchasing some vans. And understand that many of these people will start driving themselves into church, and then they'll go and pick someone else to come to pick up someone else. So you got to be that example. You got to get them started. Amen. But everything is centered around the fact that we want to be a star. We don't want to be the background light. We want to be what God's called us to be. He said, don't you know that we are the stars, that we have been called to be stars in the kingdom of God? Soul winners. That's what a star is. A soul winner.
Yeah.
I want to be a soul winner. And I want to see people say, when we first started out, we'd have 12 or 15 people getting saved every Sunday. And it's just kind of drifted down. It's time to go back after it. I'm so excited. And this conference coming up next week is all about getting fired up. It's about becoming what we're called to become. Amen? Think about that. Fired up. So if you haven't registered for that, I encourage you online. I encourage you register. It's free. We don't charge anything for coming. We just want to get people fired up. We have an amazing guest speaker, Brandon Gadsden. We're looking forward to hearing from him both Friday night and Saturday night. Also, Saturday during the day, we have some pastors and myself. I'm sharing the time when I encountered a heavenly being. I don't mean like someone that I thought was an angel. I mean an actual being that came into my room. I'm going to be sharing that experience. It happened a long time ago. It changed my life forever. And now I realize that all good things come from encounters with God. Amen. When you encounter God, your life gets changed. So you don't want to miss this. I'm not going off notes. I'm going to just talk about my experience, about how I've encountered God throughout my life. I really want to share that, encourage you with that. For now, I want you to close your eyes. I want you to bow your head, and I want you to think about Jesus. What do you want your life to mean? What are you willing to do? Are you willing to get out of your comfort zone? Are you willing to take the step it takes to be used by God and to bring him the maximum glory? If you're willing to do that, I'm willing to do it. Today at 2:00 at the park, I pray that some of you will show up. But everyone needs to know this. There's but one name under heaven by which you can be saved. Only one name. And that name is Jesus Christ. And the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Don't think that you can just wander through life. Don't think that you can just hope to get by. God has made a plan of salvation, a specific plan. And each of us have to make a decision to receive it. If you're listening to me right now, if you hear me right now, I want you to know that God loves you and that he has a plan for your life. And that plan begins by accepting his son as your Lord and Savior. We're going to say a prayer right now, you on the internet as well. And I want you to say this prayer with us. I want you to mean it with all your heart. Amen. Bow your heads. Heavenly Father, say this with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me. Thank you for sending your son. I repent of all my sins, all my wrong thoughts and actions. And I receive now your son, Jesus Christ, as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for loving me. I'm going to follow you, Lord, all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you say that for the first time or made a significant recommitment to the Lord today, I'm going to ask that you raise your hand as an act of faith to show God that you meant it. Count of three, raise them high. 1, 2, 3, raise those hands up. I want to see it. Thank you, thank you. I see those hands. I see your hands online, maybe not physically, but in the spirit. God bless you. We thank you for coming. Stand up with me as I send you out the blessing. Remember, 2 o'clock today, Montrose Park. Show up if God puts it on your heart. Be a part of what God's doing at Fire Point. And see you Friday night at New Hope Community Church at, what time does that start, Jeannie? 7 o'clock on the, I know it's different on the Saturday and the Friday. 7 o'clock on Friday. Father, I ask that you bless these mighty warriors of yours, Father. I pray, Father, that they will be all that you have called them to be. Everything that the Bible says they are, Father. They are your children, and they do not have a spirit of fear, but they have a powerful, loving, knowledgeable, mindful spirit within them that lets them be released in the fullness of their callings. Father, bless them as they go now. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. We'll see you next time.